Okay, this is, let's see, it's the 9th of August, 1983, and we're at Immokalee Reservation. And it's Mary Boland, Peggy Bulger, and Mike Dunn interviewing Ethel Santiago and her mother, who is Lena Osceola. Do you want to continue? Or did you want to
yes. Me? We were talking about the clans, and you said your clan is the Panther Clan, and you were explaining a little bit about the clan system to us. Do you want to go ahead and tell us about that?
My father is Wayne, and my mother is Panther, and she's you're supposed to marry a different clan, not your own clan. But when you do have a children, if my husband was a bird, and if I'm a panther, my children's panther. But if my brother is panther, but if he married a bird or bear or something like that, then their children is a bear. And we were not allowed to marry our own clan, which was against the law. In the older days, they used to, when they punish him, so if they caught you, going with your own claim, or had a child by your own claim or something, they, yeah, do something. What you do? Then if your child is by your own claim, then they kill the baby as a part of your punishment. Then they cut your ears off, part of your ears off, that you'll be marked for the rest of your life, and your people will know that you have... it's like a crime, not sin only, but like you commit a crime or something that is your punishment, that you have to live and that the people, today they sent people to prison, but we didn't have a place to those places to do that. So that was part of their punishment, that they would you would be marked for life. People know that what you do.
Is the clan system still important today? Is it still the same?
Yes, to us it is. But our young generation, like very young generation, is if the parents didn't taught them, then they don't taught their children, and it's getting kind of coming out where they're losing it, where they don't know what clan they are. So, but that's why our tribe has set up like a Agnes, that lady here, that she's works with our culture and our heritage, or our own heritage, huh? She teach every day after about 5 o'clock. They come in and she shows them picture, what claim you are and all that. And that's why we are trying to get back into that, where, it was getting where nobody know what claim you were. And it's up to the parents to educate them. But when some children had went to school and then they got married, and sometimes they were married non-Indian, so they don't tell their children what claim you are or something like that. Then they start working, and I guess they lost contact of what they're supposed to teach them. I think that's what happened to our young people today. And I have 5 children, and they're part of non-Indian, but I taught them my way, what I was taught, as long as every one of my children know what claim they are. And far as I got 4 of them is married, and they all married to, well, most of them are married to non-Indian, but I got some married to another Indian, but they're a different tribe. But they didn't turn around and marry one of their 4th or 2nd or 3rd cousins, like it's been done today. It's a lot of them that it's happening. And just like what it is, we are a small tribe, and mostly one way or other, you are all related. I don't care what clan you are related to each other in some way, in a blood. And that's another thing you have to educate your children about that, because I was brought up one way. Like, I'm Panther, and I have to marry another clan. Even they are relative of my father. I have right to marry a wing. And if my father was a bird, I have right. I can go ahead and marry the bird as long as I'm Panther. But I have taught my children that I find that out, that being on your father's, like, okay, my father and his sisters got sons, and my father's got, my father's daughter, and the boy is a son of my aunt. But, you know, we are really close in the blood, but they never told us that part until now I find that out. I mean, when I find that out, I had taught all my children to, you know, about the blood too, because I noticed that some, like, on Trail, Tenama Trail, that makes it a tribe, they still really believe really strong in there. So they, I have noticed that two first cousins were married, and I have seen have a child that is really slow or something wrong with it. That blood is too close. Because one of my own brother was married to, my grandfather, her father, my mother's father, had a nephew who is the father of the girl, but she's in a bird clan. So she turned around and my brother turned around. He's a Panther, my brother's Panther. So they were married. But in other words, they are like second cousins, I believe, and their blood was kind of close. And she had children, and the last, she had three children, but the last one, she, it wasn't gonna, you know, it didn't, he was born kind of a little bit slow, but not really slow, but the doctor had told her if she had any more children, their blood was too close, that they would have a deformed baby or something. Mm-hmm. So she never had children no more. That was before he died, the one that died. And we have a retarded children that, I'm not saying it's part of it, but when you really look into it, mm-hmm. their blood is close. So maybe that's where, you know, part of our problem was coming from.
Right. So. Well, you're in the Panther clan, and I was wondering, within the Panther clan, are there any particular distinguishing characteristics? At one time, I think you mentioned the Panther clan was known for its basket makers. Is that... Do the different clans have different things they specialize in, or...?
The way I look at it, I mean, what I have seen, Panther clan is they can make baskets real good, and they make traditional clothes real nice, like a patchwork. But I have noticed that Otter clan is the best in a patchwork in clothing. I have noticed that, you know, like from Trail and from Judy Builder, who does the arching crafting. We have, you know, have looking into a lot of that, and we always talk about it. Then I could see the difference in their style or how they make their own. And a bird clam is another pretty good, they make nice jackets and things like that. And, well, actually, mostly the one we call Seminole, like BC, Big Cypress and Hollywood and Trail and Mockley, are really good, what do you call those people? Seamster? The people that make clothes.
Seamsters.
Yeah, they really good in that, but I'm not putting anybody down, but the Creeks over in Bright are really different from us. Their clothes are really different. That's why we make a lot of their clothes. But what I find out, they buy a lot of clothes or patchwork from us. But what I found out was that when they're young, mostly they look like they went out to work in fields or cow pastures. Or they went to work, so they didn't have time to sit down and learn how to do that work. But it just seems like their work is really different from us, because they had arching crafts up there one time, and I used to go and look at their stuff, and it's really different from us. And they had two or three used to live with the Seminoles that know how to do the patchwork was the one was up there teaching the others to do that. So, but mostly I find in a basket is most of the lady are in Panther clan. That's why I said that that's what I have noticed today. I'm going to ask her from her on her day. She said that, I think that's what was known in her days too, and the reason that Creeks are not very good patchwork makers or baskets is that they hunt a lot and they work a lot. That's what she said. That's why mm-hmm. they. Well, that you had to hunt too in Bangladesh. My mother used to do that a lot. But her first, her first training is in a patchwork. She was growing up. She didn't have a machine. She had to do it by a needle and make her skirts by a needle. And I have a picture of her that she wore a skirt the time she got married. And I asked her if it's made by needles. You can tell. She said it take her about 3 months to finish one skirt.
All by hand?
Yeah, all by hand.
Oh my gosh.
Did they have to concentrate on that and keep on working?
Another thing, we do want to take pictures of your historic photographs. You've got one of your mom, I know, and then a couple of your grandfather.
Did you ever ask Nancy, my sister, about those pictures up in Hollywood? Remember I was telling you?
It's on tape. You said
Nancy Warham?
Yeah.
I told you she had those pictures up in the accounting office.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes. And they were there the day you were at the meeting, and we could go in there and see them. We can go see them while we're.
That's what, she has a telephone. I mean, she has that number where you can order those pictures from. That's what I was going to tell you. Somebody up in Central Florida still got them. That's where she got hers.
It sounds sent like for her. Patsy West. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, Ethel, could you ask your mother what the clans were when she was growing up? What are the different kind? How many of them and what the names of the clans?
There's seven of them. Seven claims.
What can you name them for me?
Yeah, one of them is well, They call themselves Big City, but original, they told me they are Tote. That's what we got in our book. Tote, the frogs. Tote, how you call it?
Oh, Tote.
Oh, Toad.
Uh-huh.
Toad.
Uh-huh. Okay, Toad. But now they call themselves Big City?
They do, but they originally are not. That's what we were studying, and her, Agnes, and I have learned that going back to the older people, if they're the big cities, they said there was one claim one time in our history that what Indian tell us that, older Indian tell us that there were a tribe named Big City, but they couldn't survive. They all was dying out. So they changed it to Tote. Then that's how they survived. So it was said in the past that when they come back, that Tote family come back, you know, if they have more, if they have a they own a claim, they should never call themselves Big City because they would start dying out again. It was a they were saying that one time that it was a curse was put on. You know, they really all the tribes of Indian in the region all over the United States are really still practicing. We call it, some of us call it black medicine, and some people call it something else, but we call it black medicine because it's kind of put a curse or something on a people. We still have that here today too. So back then it was strong that they could do that, and they said they used to be kind of mean or something. It was kind of they were mean, and they would go and steal stuff from other claims and all that. Then one time they was on, say that it was a, this is a story was passed down to us, that there was a curse was put on the that particular claim, and that's how they start dying out. So they changed their claim.
A curse from like within this
claim, because they still have that, and especially like in West, really. Because when I was with the people, that's what I found out about. Because we was talking about it one time. When I went to Italy, I went with six tribe. I mean, with me, there were six of us, six tribe. We used to talk, you know, and I found out that they're really strong and practicing that. So I think down here, it's not. They're still taking that Indian medicine traditional practice here, but I don't think anybody's taking that. Just the older people knows that that black medicine, but most of them, what they're learning now is you know, good medicine that it'd be good for their people. Mm-hmm. So and another tribe is you got the toad, mm-hmm. a bird, panther, wind, mm-hmm. otter, and a bear, mm-hmm. and how many you got there now?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got one more.
Yeah, one more. That's a snake. I don't like to think about snakes. That's why I always forget.
Are any of those clans dying out now? I mean, are they all pretty well populated?
Tote are still small clan. So is the bear, and so is the snake. The biggest ones are panther, and the second one is the bird, and the third one is the wind. Then after that, there was a... It's always my thing on London. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it either. Far as the tribe recognized, I think we got 7 claims, but they also a deer claim, but they said they were adopted by... She said where that deer come from was that when during the war, when they were fighting, they kept the slaves, I think, the children of the slaves, because I'm sure the parents died fighting with their masters or whoever it was. Well, they captured the little ones, and they were black slaves. He said that that whichever claim had captured them went on ahead and claimed them. And today, she said, there is some around here. They are deer, but they were claimed from the deer claim. So, and there's still some, but not that many. Mm-hmm. But most of them are over in Brighton, and but they're part of the slave children. That's why they. Mm-hmm. Then they got the children, but since they were fighting with white, said they used to kill a white one, but they keep a black one because they was happened to known to be strong. So they said, we'll take them and raise them and like a slave or claim it among each other.
Mm-hmm. In your mother's day, what would happen if a woman married from outside the clan, like a non-Indian? Would they still come and live?
She said in her days, she said she was stricken not to marry non-Indian. But she said her days, when you married a non-Indian, I guess you just go and live with that husband. But the reason is that they didn't do anything to them, but they just kind of asked him to leave their camp. And like a panther or bird or whatever used to have a big old camps, you know, in one camp. So they would ask them that to leave. And the reason was that not to do that because when you've married non-Indian, your tribe or your claim is going to be start dying out. So like she said, today it is happening, you know. But she said people at her age, they went and married non-Indians. The men's too. Mm-hmm. Woman's and the men's too. Mm-hmm. So that's what she said today. That's why our clans and our tribe are kind of dying out. Mm-hmm. More like a. Right. We got a lot of. Probably, I think more than half of the tribe are mixed. Not full blooded.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I like to get that and see. That's the next step I want to check into. See, just about how many percentage of full blooded are.
Uh-huh.
Last time I checked, it was like 40. So I don't know. I think it was, and I'm not saying it is, but you know. But I want to make sure how many left that's full blooded.
What we would call a hierarchy of clans. Is one clan supposed to be like the best clan, and then is there a descending order of clans, or does everybody think their clan is the best? Or
Well, for me, I could tell you, but let me ask my mother.
Okay.
She said that this is what I got too from it. When I was growing up, they told me that you have same respect for each other's claim. You don't put yourself high or above, or, you know, try to think you are better than them, I have more claims or something. That's what happened to that big city claims. He said that they put themselves above the other claim, so they got together and put that curse on him, and whatever it was, a spell or some kind of over them, and that's how they tried to start fighting away, and the claims start fighting away. And like our days, they would tell us, some other tribe, some other clan that comes to your camp, if they come, you don't have nothing but water, serve them with water. If you have coffee, you know, offer them coffee. And then if you are, let's say, I'm a bird, and if I go to this big camp and all of them are bear or the wind, I don't just watch myself right in there. Today, that's what she said, today, they just come over here and start giving you all kind of help. But back then, you know, if you have to go around it, go around it. Don't go walk right through it. Then if you want to go in, just ask the permission, can I come into your camp? Then, you know, talk with them. Then even if you have something against them, just don't never go into other clans' camp and start fight or... Uh-huh. Unless if it's at the corn dance, I send them get drunk and fight. Now that's a different story. But you know, it's when you're not drinking.
What about here at Immokalee? How many different clans are here?
Here, there's a Panther and a Otto and there's some Few Winds and a bird. Yeah, you know what's not Buddhist model. There's a four claims right here in this reservation. The majority is Panther, because most of us are Panthers. Mm-hmm. We have a few bird and
She
said you go to another clan's camp. If you're visiting and if you have children with you, you keep your children in your place. Don't let them run around and tear everything up to other people. Like, they used to have gardens, and they used to have, I remember they used to have a lot of things that you feel like get up there and play with it. Sometimes they're working tools or something like that. Like my grandfather used to have that thing you put sugar cane and push it around that, get a syrup out of it. But he used to have that sometimes. But I have, when I was growing up, I used to do that when they tell me to, when they put that sugar cane in and tell me to push it. I used to do that because I thought it was fun. But as far as the other people went to visit my grandfather's camp, I have never seen children pushing that thing or playing on it or anything. That's how it used to be, but today they can take them in your house and they tear your house up. That's what she was saying.
There's not as much.
Not as though she had a, when she's living here, she's got a banana tree with bananas on it and an orange tree with a little orange or something.
Uh-huh.
They come and knock it down and just cut that banana tree down. She's got, and also she's, they have a livestock like pigs or chicken and all that. And back then, it was their main food, so meat. So they said that, you know, never, you know, mess with them or kill them or anything like that. But she has some animals. There's some kids come down here, and they throw rocks and get a stick and hit them. And sometimes she has to get up there and tell them not to. Then some parents, they get mad because you tell you their children not to do that. That's what she was saying, that back those days the children used, you know, and not because today they said, I'm the mother, let me tell them what they're supposed to do, or let me do the punish them or but back then they tell you when you're growing up, even you don't agree with this person, especially when there are older ladies or older men, they talk to you, you sit down and listen. Then even if you don't agree with them, don't say nothing. Just listen. And then, because someday you might have to use that to that knowledge you got from this person, that someday it will, you know, come in handy where you have to use it. So never argue. Just listen. That's what they used to tell us. But today, you know, you talk to some children or something, they tell you to shut up. That's what she was talking about.
I wonder why.
Let me stop for a second. I'm going to just take this and cut it and run this off on that short reel. And then...